on Monday on campus completely different. And I could tell you more about that illustration that tells you further of the evidence that she illustrated to me how different she really chose to be. Here's a young person, or this woman in Proverbs 7, and she is saying, I've been to worship. I've offered my vows. I've got a peace offering. I'm good. And here he goes, right? He's buying it. Go back into 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. You may be familiar with the text. But it says in verse 14, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Let me stop you for half a second, maybe 30. That's not fair. That's my gut reaction to that statement. My gut reaction to that statement is, you got to be kidding me. You mean to tell me that Satan gets to walk around and look like light? Yeah, he does. That's the unfortunate circumstance here. We have to be extremely careful. We have to be extremely careful of what we allow to influence us and what we allow to affect us and what we allow to bring us in certain directions, because Satan himself, the text says, can transform himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end it will be according to their works. Wow. You thought it was hard enough trying to figure out the difference between the world and what's right. Try to figure out sometimes what's down the pew and what's right. Now, I'm not offering for you to look around right now, by the way. My dad said something to me one time that I thought, wow, I can't believe he said that. But he said, Brian, he warned me. He said, Brian, let me tell you. He says, it's going to surprise you someday, but I don't want you to be shocked by it. I want you to be prepared for it. He says, I want you to know that it is absolutely possible that some of the strongest temptations you ever have to face in your walk with God will not come from somebody outside the building, but they will come from the pews that you're sitting in. And I thought to myself, boy, that seemed awful harsh. But as I got older, I began to realize what he meant. It is easy to see the world for what it is, right? It's easy to look out and see the world and say, that's not something I want to be involved in. And look how that's going for him, and that didn't work out so good for her. And where it's easy for us to kind of look at the world and say, I don't want any part of that. But when the same kinds of temptations that the world is offering is happening from my brothers and sisters in Christ, that is a far different battle to have to win against. And here this woman comes and she says, I'm really good. I really don't mean you any harm. And I've got to be ready for that moment. Just because a brother or sister in Christ is the source of the temptation, please do not follow that path. And simply because somebody presents themselves as an angel of light, simply because the minister of Satan is presenting himself or herself in a varied context, do not fall prey to that. Be ready for the temptations that come even from places that you didn't expect it. Be ready to overcome it. Because sin is sin. I don't care who's trying to get you to do it. Wrong is wrong. I don't care who's trying to get you to do it. And whether it comes from somebody that you love and trust or whether it comes from the world, it does not change the fact that we cannot walk this path. And so you might say to yourself, that's not fair. How am I supposed to be prepared for that? How am I supposed to be ready for that? That's the task we're given. And we need to be ready for the kinds of challenges when things appear differently than they actually are. And then she does something interesting. Go back to Proverbs 7. Proverbs 7, verse 15. So she says, I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows. Verse 15, so I came out to meet you. Give me a break. Are you kidding me? Do you actually think that this woman in this description, in this proverb, really was going out and she only had this guy and him alone in mind? Lie, right? She's not telling the truth. We know the reputation from the proverb. We understand the circumstance. But she says, I came out to meet you diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. You're so special. You see, the problem is sometimes with temptation is it offers us this. It says to me, it says, Brian, you're different than everybody else. You've got some special circumstances going on. You've got some greater challenges in your life. You've been handed some bad deals from time to time. You've had to face challenges that others have not. And Satan constantly lists a great big old laundry list of reasons why Brian is the exception to God's rule. Why it is okay for me. These other folks, yeah, it's probably sinful for them. It's probably something they ought not get involved in. But I'm special. I'm the exception. And she's trying to get this young man to think of her circumstance and what she's lowering into from that mindset. That you're special, you're different. This is exactly what should have happened. It reminds me of Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 to 2, right? You remember that. Nadab and Abihu offer strange fire upon the altar. Let me run you back there. Do I have time for that? Yeah, I do. I'm going to do it anyway. Run back there. I want you to notice something. Go to Leviticus. Go to Leviticus chapter 10. And I want you to see. I want you to back up, though, in chapter 9. Because I want you to recognize something that's going on. I think sometimes we look at Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus 10, and we don't consider what just happened in Leviticus chapter 9.